Yes, he knows. You believe that this morning? Just what I need. If he doesn't know, we're in trouble. But he knows the beginning from the end, and he's supplied it. He's just waiting for us to ask this morning. To say, Lord, let it be done here on the earth as it is in heaven. Amen. God bless you. I greet you on this new day of the new year. And it's good to be back together. Many of you have been out and are returning. We still have others that are out and keeping them in prayer. We have some that are out sick, and we're keeping them in prayer as well as we join with them in the battle of faith. But we're excited about what the Lord has for us. We're thankful for, we had a wonderful service on Friday night. It was a tremendous way to finish the year and start the new year. And I just love to recap that a little bit. But for the sake of time, we want to just give our brother as much time as is available this morning. And we don't have any place to go. We just want to hear from the Lord. And we believe that He'll speak to our needs this morning and provide just what it is that we have need of. So I will mention this for those of you that weren't with us on Friday night. Our brother battled through many, many things to get here. Now, he wouldn't have told you that, but I'm telling you. And he and I both know, have enough experience, both to know that when the enemy's fighting you that hard, he's worried. Well, he ought to be worried. Because God is on the move, He's providing, He's doing just exactly what He said He would do, and you know, and it's in the darkest times that we see the brightest light. So the enemy's come in like a flood, but the Lord has raised up a standard, and so we're excited to have our brother with us again this morning. And if you don't know him, Brother Andrew Glover, he comes from us from Brother Sean Martin's church in Virginia. And we love him. He's a good brother. He's a true minister of the gospel. And we've been blessed by his ministry, continue to be blessed by his ministry. We appreciate his friendship. And we're just looking forward to what the Lord has for us this morning. Amen. We also had a wonderful time of fellowship yesterday for those that were able to make it for our potluck. And we hadn't been able to do something like that for quite a while. The last attempt that we made, which was a valiant attempt, and I'm still going through withdrawals thinking about the different things that you guys promised to bring, and you probably made, but we didn't get it. So we got to get together for some fellowship and good food yesterday, and just had a wonderful time, and looking forward to more opportunities to do that as time goes by. We see that this latest variant of the COVID virus has spiked, and we're seeing the biggest spike ever. I don't say that to worry anybody. It's so far, it appears to be a less deadly and less troublesome strain of the virus, but it's spiked up maybe twice as high as any, actually more than that. Higher than maybe 2.5 times what we've seen up to this point, both in Arizona and across the nation. So we just keep everyone in prayer. If you are, you know, if you have the certain weaknesses already that make you more susceptible, then we just, as we've been saying all along, we counsel you to take whatever steps that are necessary to protect yourself. But for the rest of us, we're going to go on. We're going to press through, trust God, and we will get through this. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So we're going to invite our brother to come this morning. And as Brother Andrew makes his way out, I worship you, Almighty God. There's none like you. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I long to do, and I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you. And search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. There is none like you. There is none like you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. No one else can touch a heart like you do. I can search for all eternity long and find there's none like you. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. How many can say that this morning? I need you, Lord. Oh, yes, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Yes, Lord. So I lift my hands and I bow my knees and worship at your throne. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Amen. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Hallelujah. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I need you, Lord. Yes, I need you, Lord, right now. This morning, Christ the Lord. Brother, if you could give me a little more on the monitor, give him praise and glory. We give him all the glory. We'll give him all the glory.
believe that this morning. Amen. I truly believe that's what we've come to do. Amen. Is to give him all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. Amen. For there's no other God outside of our God. He's the living God. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And to think this morning that he is our Father. Amen. We sure want to say God bless you all this morning. We greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We sure count it an honor and privilege to be with you this morning in the service of the King. Amen. Just to be believing and pressing forward. Amen. There's a lot going on in the world we're living in, but there's a lot more with us than there is with them. Amen. So by God's grace, we've already made it. Amen. We sure love the Lord this morning. If you have your Bibles while you're standing with us, we want to invite you in the Scriptures to the book of 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. The book of 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. Amen. You love the Lord this morning. Amen. 1 Samuel 17. And we want to say God bless you and a happy new year to you this morning. A few days into the year, and I trust you're having a good year so far. Amen. Just a few days into it, so we pray that the Lord is blessing you, and I want to say we sure enjoyed the service Friday night being with you all, and I'm a little happy this morning. I've got clothes, and I've got shoes to preach in. Amen. I tell you, preaching here Friday night, that's the second time I've preached in cowboy boots. So I've worn them since I was a kid, and I love them, but they're not made for preaching. I'll tell you that. Amen. But amen, we're sure thankful the Lord worked everything out. And amen, we just want to say God bless you, Brother Doug. Appreciate you and your family and your friendship and what you mean to our hearts. And your stand for this message in the church here. We sure love you, buddy. Pray God's blessings upon you. Amen. I sure love Brother Doug and always enjoy our time together. Amen. We want to just bow our hearts together here before you read the word. How many would say, Lord, come by my way this morning and speak to me? Let's just ask him. Heavenly Father, Lord, as your believers have gathered here today, Lord, as I heard your prophet say this morning, Lord, that such an honor to be in the service of the King. And Lord, when I heard him say that, it just echoed in my heart to think this morning we're not just here in a church service. We're not just here partaking, Lord, of a few moments of, Lord, religious duties and carrying about our lives as just another social gathering. But, Father, we're here this morning because this is between life and death. This is between the power of God and the power of the devil. And, Lord, if we were not here this morning in your presence, Lord, and feeding upon your unfailing body word, Lord, with all the things that's taken place in this world, Lord, the pandemics, the political disturbances, everything that's happening, Lord, if we were not in your presence, we would be of all men most miserable this morning. But Father, because we have an anchor that goes beyond the veil, Lord, as we gather here today, Father, we can, Lord, hear the reports of the land and the reports of the COVID cases and all these things that's rising. But Lord, above that, we are taking assurance this morning that there is a New Testament church rising up in the power of your resurrection. And I pray this morning, Lord, that you would send your grace upon this congregation, Father. Lord, as our pastor spoke to us this morning, Lord, instructions from your word, Lord, that no matter what we face, no matter what's happening with this virus and things, we will just continue to press forward. We will continue to believe your word. We are not doubters. We're not reasoners. We are believers. And I pray this morning you would send your grace into the meeting, Lord. May you anoint us afresh today, God. May you give us strength in our bodies. May you give us strength in our hearts, Lord, to, Lord, persevere in your presence this morning. Forgive us of our failures, oh God. Forgive us of our shortcomings, Lord. And when this service would be dismissed today, may we be drawn closer to you than we were this morning, and we'll be sure to give thee all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory, for it's in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we pray, and all the believers says amen, amen and amen. God bless you. The book of 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, I want to look in the 26th verse. I know you're very familiar with this reading. It's when David goes out and kills Goliath, and I'm not going to read the whole story. I just want to pull a few verses here, beginning in the 26th verse. The Bible says that David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel?" Now, I want you to notice here what David says. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Now, David was not playing games. He was not trying to be politically correct. He walked right out there, looked Goliath in the face, and said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that should defy the armies of the living God?" Now, if you go with me to the 40th verse, the Bible says that he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. In the 49th verse, the Bible says, "And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth." Now, I also want to read the 50th verse. "So David prevailed." Somebody say prevailed. Prevailed. "David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David." Now, amen. In the 26th verse, the Bible says that David asked the question, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" If I can say it to you this way, right there, I believe that David discerned Goliath. He discerned the spirit that was motivating Goliath to make the boast that he made. But he didn't just discern it as being wrong. But in the 40th verse, I believe David went into action to withstand the Goliath that was defying the church of the living God. Also, I want to read one of the verse with you, and we'll give you our subject and let you be seated. It's found in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And the 13th verse. You love the Lord this morning. Amen. Ephesians 6 and verse 13. Amen. It's good to be in the house of God. Amen. Amen. Good atmosphere. Amen. Amen. The 13th verse, the Bible says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." Notice this, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. "And having done all to stand," give up and throw your hands up and turn around and walk away and just let the devil have his way. It's not what my Bible says. "Having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness." We ask the Lord this morning to add the blessing to the reading of his word as you can be seated here today. From those passages of scripture for just a few moments, if the Lord would help me, I want to speak to you here. If I would title this morning, this thought, I want to speak to you on a thought of discern and withstand. Discern and withstand. And I've just recently been in a bit of a study here of listening to 2 tapes back to back. And the first one is on discerning the body of the Lord. Brother Branham preached that in 1959. Then he'll come along in 1960 and he'll preach a message called "The Discernment of Spirit." So he's going to preach to you discerning the body of the Lord. Then he says "The Discernment of Spirit." And you know, I truly believe with all my heart that the hour we're living in, we've got to have spiritual discernment or we'll be overtaken. Amen. We've got to have an ability by the grace of God to discern, amen, the spirits that are in the land today. Now, in the Message Testimony 1963, the prophet said, "It is astounding to see the hour that we're living in. It frightens me. In my heart, the joy bells are ringing, knowing that the coming of the Lord is so close at hand. But what frightens me is to know that so many is unprepared for the hour that we're facing." Now, amen, to hear the prophet of God say that he is frightened almost frightens us. Amen. To hear a prophet say that, but you realize he was not frightened by the things that was happening in the world. He was not frightened by the things that were taking place in the land. What he was frightened by was the unpreparedness of the people that were living in the hour when these things were coming upon the earth. He said, "You've heard of the story about the mountains coming down when the Lord wrote these things on the mountain the other day." He says, "My life." Now, I'm not a preacher. Anybody knows that I'm not a preacher, but it's made up in a spiritual form, amen, of watching things and seeing things move and forewarning people of things that's coming to pass. The prophet says, "My life," amen, "is built upon a ministry of warning people, amen, of things that are coming to pass. That's my makeup." He said, "I can't help it no more than you can help your makeup." Amen. But God has put us each one in the body to do certain things. And I watch every little move. Listen now, I watch every little move, every little objective, every motive, because everything is governed by a spirit. Amen. I watch every little move, every little motive, every little objective, because everything is governed by a spirit. He said the church was put here for a purpose. There is a spirit behind this church. Certainly, there is a spirit behind your home, behind everything. Behind everything, there is a spirit, a motive, and an objective. Amen. Behind this church, there is a spirit, there is a motive, and there is objective. Behind your home, there is a spirit, there is a motive, there is an objective. Amen. Behind your family, there is a spirit, there is a motive, there is objective. The prophet said this church comes here, amen, to greatly exalt. He said this church comes here to greatly exalt some human system or something, amen, then its motive is not right. But if it's put here to try to achieve something for the kingdom of God, then the motive and the objective both is right. If the motives is directed that way, amen, then the prophet will say it like this in discerning the body of the Lord. He says, now our eternal destination is not altogether determined by what we see and what we hear, but it is determined on what discernment we have of what we see and what we hear. So it's not just determined on what you see or what you hear about the thing you're seeing. Amen. But our eternal destination is determined upon what kind of discernment we have about what we're seeing and what we're hearing. Now, amen, I find many times as Christians, amen, that we forget what we should remember, and we remember what we should forget. We forget that we are Christians, and we remember that we had a past. We forget that we've got the promises of God, and we remember all the negativity. We forget the positive and remember the negative. We forget the goodness and remember the badness. Amen. But this morning, church, we have not come here, amen, to remember the bad things. Amen. We have come here to remember the good things. Amen. And I'll say it like this. We all need reminders, amen, from time to time. That's why John 14:26 says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, when the Father will send him in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, amen, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, in the message, discernment of spirit, I'm just laying a foundation if that's okay. In discernment of spirit, he said, who did it? Christ said that the revelation of God, the Holy Spirit, would bring it to you. A little while and I'll leave you, but I'll pray the Father and he'll send you the Comforter, which will bring these things to your remembrance. Is that right? What he's doing this morning, amen, will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit in the church in the last day. Then the Holy Spirit in the church is not here just to make us feel good or to make us shout or to make us dance. Amen. I believe in those things. Amen. But the Holy Ghost has return to the church, amen, to put a spiritual enlightenment upon the church, amen, about the day and the hour that you're living in. My, I said like this, thank God that he would send us a prophet, amen, to remind us to discern the spirit before we embrace the thing we see. Amen, to discern the motive before we embrace the thing we see. Amen, to discern the objective before we embrace the thing to see. Amen, I'll tell you, oh God, I might as well preach. Amen, I'll tell you why America is in the condition it's in today, is because they have no discernment. Amen. I'll tell you why homes are falling apart. It's because they have no discernment. I'll tell you why churches, amen, are falling apart and ministries are laying by the wayside. It's because they have no discernment. Amen. But it shall be light about the evening time. Amen. God would send a message with an anointing to discern the spirit. Come on, church. Without this message, we are as confused as 900 denominations. But with this message, there's not a question on the word. We've got the answer to the devil's question. I don't know what the devil's question is, but it makes no difference what his question is. When I heard a prophet say we've got the answer to his question, then whatever he asks, we've got the answer. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. I will perform the deceal. I will do these things. My, to think today that God, amen, so loved us enough that he would send a prophet to remind the church, amen, you discern the spirit. Amen. Now, I hope it's okay to preach a little bit this morning. Amen. Peter said it like this. He said, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance. that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Amen. Now, I just want to take a moment here. Amen. Because I could comb this quote for hours, but I don't have time. Amen. But I just want to draw our thought from this very familiar quote you read in the church age book. It's in the revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, now remember this. Amen. Right there, when I hear that, it must be something important that a prophet is emphasizing the need to remember this. He says, now remember this, that Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. But the book of Revelation shows how that the Antichrist spirit would come into the church and would defile it and make it lukewarm, amen, formal and powerless. It exposes Satan, revealing his works, the attempted destruction of God's people, and the discrediting of God's word, right down to the time he is cast into the lake of fire. He fights that. He cannot stand it, because he knows that if the people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is and what she stands for, amen, and what, amen, that she can do the greater works, then she will be an invincible army. Amen. I just want to take a moment here and remind you, amen, that there are many things that we stand against. Amen. We stand against sin. We stand against ungodliness. We stand against perversion. We stand against denominational spirits. We stand against organization. Amen. But sometimes I think we get so focused, amen, on what we stand against, amen, that we forget that we actually stand for something. Amen. We're not just a bunch of people standing against something. Amen. But we are a bride who is standing for something. Amen. And I want my voice to be heard in heaven this morning. I stand for Jesus Christ. I stand for the Holy Ghost. I stand for the power of God. I stand for the supernatural. I stand for divine healing. I stand for miracles. I stand for manifestation. I stand for righteousness. We stand for holiness. We stand for clean living. We stand for the power of God. Amen. Coming in the church and manifesting itself. We're not just a bunch of people standing against something. Amen. We stand for something. Anybody want to let the devil know this morning? Amen. I stand for Jesus Christ. I stand for the message of the hour. I stand for everything a prophet taught. Oh my. If a prophet taught it, somebody going to stand for it. I stand for Jesus Christ. I stand for the greater works. Amen. The prophet said, see, if they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church, and by God's spirit, amen, discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit. Amen. Then God's spirit is going to come into the church, and it's going to open the church to the realization that you stand for something, but he's also going to make you aware, amen, that the Antichrist spirit is going to come, amen, into the church in the last days. He said, but when you get the true revelation, you will discern and withstand it. Amen. Satan will be powerless before her. He will be as definitely thwarted today as he was when Christ withstood his every effort to gain power over him in the desert. Yes, Satan hates revelation, but we love it. Amen. Satan hates revelation, but we love it. With the true revelation in our lives, amen, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us, but we will prevail over them. Amen. Then to think this morning, church, without this message, amen, the gates of hell will consume the church. Without this message, the gates of hell will consume our homes, will consume our families, will consume our churches. Amen. But with the revelation of the message of the hour, there ain't a devil in hell that can consume the bride of Jesus Christ, because we'll discern that devil. Oh, come on, church. I feel like preaching this morning. There is a bride on the earth who's not backing up to the devil. She's not turning around. She's not bowing a knee. She knows who she is. She knows what she believes. She knows where she stands. All hell may be against her, but all heaven is behind her. And with that revelation, we'll prevail over every devil. Yes, sir, with true revelation, the gates of hell will not consume us. We will prevail over them. Laodicean church age, the second thought that must be impressed on our hearts is that the seven church ages started out with the Antichrist spirit.
as well as the Holy Spirit, who is to be blessed forever. Think about that. Amen. The seven church ages started out with the Antichrist spirit as well as the Holy Spirit. He said, see, amen, as who is to be blessed forever. Now, I believe with all my heart that we are living in the end time. However you want to say it, end time, last days, harvest time, rapture time, amen, amen, however you want to put it, amen, we're living in the last days. The prophet said, and only once at the end time. Jesus said that in this end time again, somebody shout again, in this end time again, the two spirits would be real close together again. Now, where were the two spirits real close at together before in order to be there again? Well, you got to go back to Genesis, which is the seed chapter, and you'll find in Genesis there were two trees who stood side by side in the garden, and those two trees were not, they were not like you would look out here and see. They were symbolic of persons. The prophet said the tree of life was Jesus Christ. The tree of knowledge of good and evil was the devil. Amen. So what he's saying here is, amen, the two trees are going to be side by side again like they were in the Garden of Eden, only this time, amen, it's going to be harder to discern, amen, than it was back then. Think about that. Amen. This second Eve, amen, has got a harder time of discerning between the two spirits, amen, than the first Eve did. Amen. And the first Eve fell, amen, but a prophet said this second Eve, amen, will not fail, amen, because she is the Word. The prophet said, oh, my children, it'll be closer than that was. Now, how did we tell it in them days? How are you going to tell it today? He says, the same way, stay with the Word. Jesus Christ is the same. Amen. Yesterday, today, and forever. Now, carry all this message, and when you listen to the tape, even maybe I'll be gone someday when the Lord is finished with me here on earth, and you'll refer back to this. Amen. Listen to my voice, what I'm telling you. If he takes me before his coming, just remember I have spoke to you in the name of the Lord by the word of the Lord. Amen. I've spoke to you in the name of the Lord by the word of the Lord. So when you hear a prophet's tapes, you're not hearing the ideas of William Branham. You're not hearing the direction of some denominational headquarters that is motivating him to say what he's saying. You are hearing the word of the Lord. Amen. In the name of the Lord by the voice of the word through a prophet. Amen. My, to think today that there are two spirits. The prophet said one of them is God's Holy Spirit. Amen. And the other one is the devil's spirit that is working in deception. Yeah. Are you with me now? Amen. The devil's spirit is working in deception. The people of the earth are now making their choice. The Holy Spirit is here calling out a bride for Christ. He is doing it by vindicating his word of promise to her for this age. Amen. Showing that it is Christ. Amen. Then right here this morning, the Holy Spirit has returned to the church and is calling the church by the Holy Spirit. He said, if the finger's supposed to move, then it'll move. If the foot is supposed to move in this age, the foot will move. If the eye is to see in this age, the eye will see. The Spirit of God, as it's grown in the full stature of God, is the age we're now living in. Listen now, the Holy Spirit is here vindicating the message of the hour. Amen. Amen. Case settled. This message is the truth. Come on now. Amen. I'm not here vindicating it. Another preacher's not here vindicating it. The Holy Spirit himself has returned to the church to vindicate the message that is in the church. And the Holy Spirit is doing this so that the people that will believe God will be called out of this chaos. The devil's unholy spirit is here calling the church by error, as usual, by perversion of the word, like he did at the beginning. See, it coming right back to that seed time again from Eden. Here it is again. Amen. Sirs, what time is it? It's the end time. What hour are we living in? In the closing hours of the world's history, in the last days. Now, amen, Paul would say this to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:1. He would say this, know also that in the last days, amen, perilous times shall come. If you got your Bibles out, or when you get time, I want you to do what a prophet said, do, okay? He said, when you read that, underline those words, in the last days. In anointing once at the end time, he said, notice this, underline that, the last days. That's when it's going to happen. When is Matthew 24 going to be fulfilled? In the last days. When are the two spirits going to be so close that it would deceive the very elect if possible? In the last days. He said, see, that's when it's going to happen. Amen. Perilous times shall come. Amen. And we are in it. Amen. We're not going to be in perilous times. We're not approaching perilous times. We're not on the verge of perilous times. Right here this morning, Brother Joel, we are in perilous times. And what does perilous times mean? It means dangerous times. Therefore, a prophet would be sent, amen, to prophesy that the last days is not going to be a missile warfare. It's going to be a spiritual warfare. He said, I think it'll be a spiritual warfare. Amen. It'll come in and just take the nation over and put them to sleep. Amen. Till they get in and get a hold. He said, well, if they get a hold here in the United States, amen, then Canada's a small thing for them. Now, therefore, there is nothing really in the world we can build our hopes upon any achievement that we could give in this world, because there isn't no hopes for it. There is only one hope, and that is Christ. There is only one hope for the church, and that is Christ. There is only one hope for the bride, and that is Christ. There is only one hope for our children, and that is Christ. There's only one hope for our families, and that is Christ. Listen, friends, this is not the hour to be a lazy soldier. This is not the hour to be a coward. This is the hour to be a real son and daughter of God, with a sword in your hand, with a fight in your heart, to stand against this Laodicean age. Come on, church. Amen. It was no question that a prophet come along and said the Laodicean age is the most deceiving age. He would call it a deceptive age. Amen. Now, in Christianity versus idolatry, amen, how many knows, amen, that Martin one time was approached by a being, by a figure, and the prophet said this being come in a white robe, had a crown on his head, and had shoes inlaid with gold, and said, I'm the Christ, confess me, Martin. Amen. It appeared to Martin, said, I'm the Christ, confess me. Amen. I'm the Christ, confess me. He said that two or three times, and Brother Bram said, then Martin looked at him, and Martin said, our Christ don't come like that. Amen. Do you realize what Martin done? He realized that there was a spirit, there was a motive, there was an objective, there was an agenda behind this being that had appeared to him, and Martin discerned that thing and said, our Christ don't come like that. And he withstood that thing. Amen. The prophet said, oh, amen, that's right. You got to know the word and stay on the word and see the great battle is at hand. Now, we played church for years and years, but the hour has come now when Jannes and Jambres will withstand Moses, as the Bible said, and it's going to be a spiritual battle, a conflict. There'll be some just continue on. The denominational church will just move right on into domination and go on the way it goes. But I mean the real true believer. He was not preaching to the denomination. He was not preaching to the world. He was preaching to the real true believer. He said the real true believer is coming to the battlefield, and you'd better be versed. I want you to hear this now. You better be versed and know what you're doing, or you could take an evil spirit so easy and not even know it. You better be versed by the word and know where you stand and know who you are and know what you believe and know where you come from and know where you're standing and know where you're going, or you could take an evil spirit so easy and not even know it. He said, if it's contrary to the word, amen, then you don't believe it. Amen. You stay with the word. How many knows the prophet said the devil will actually come in the church under the disguisement of Christianity? He goes on to say, in Christianity versus idolatry, he says, so many people today are opening their hearts to the wrong thing. You get a spirit, all right, but many times if it contradicts the word, amen, saying the days of miracles is past, there's no such a thing as that or this, amen, remember, that's a devil under the disguisement of Christianity. That is a devil. Come on, church, I'm going to preach this morning. We can call it what we want to. We can call it a bad vibe. We can call it an ill feeling. We can call it a weird thing. Let's just call it what a prophet called it. He called it a devil and said it's an antichrist spirit, and it comes in under the disguisement of Christianity. Amen. God help us. He said when we get down here after a bit to see, amen, that evil spirit's in the disguisement of Christianity. But if it isn't the spirit of Christ, because the spirit of Christ comes to the word every time, he cannot deny his word. What did Jesus say? Amen. My sheep hear my voice. Amen. And I know them and they follow me. What is the voice? He said the voice is the word. Then the sheep hear the word. They believe the word. They receive the word. And therefore they're led by the word. In Feast of the Trumpets, he said, how will the people that's believing him know it unless they're constantly in the word to know what he is? Daniel said, the wise shall know, but the foolish, the unwise, what know? They shall know their God. Oh my. Now how he shall appear in the last days is to bring the people back to the word, so that the bride will know her husband, know her mate, the revealed word. So he's going to appear in the form of the word to lead the church back to the word, which the revealed word is the mate of the bride. He said it wasn't the reformers. The scripture says it wasn't, but it will come. That is his promise for this age. We're living in the age that is coming, will be in, and she must be identified in him, and any woman must be identified with her husband, for the two are one. Think about this. And Christ's bride has to be identified with him, for the two are one. He is the word, not a denomination, the word. We are to be children of the light, and the light is the word, which is made light for the age. How do you know light except it comes from the word? The word made flesh is the light of the age when you see it. The word made flesh is the light of the age when you see it. Malachi 4 is light to the bride because she sees it. Revelation 10:7 is light to the bride because she sees it. Luke 17:30 is light to the bride because she sees it. Daniel 11 is light to the bride because, amen, she sees it. Now, the book of Revelation says it like this. The prophet said the book of Revelation shows how the antichrist spirit would come into the framework of the church. Amen. Notice the order of what it does. The antichrist comes in and defiles it. After it defiles it, it makes it formal. After it makes it formal, then it becomes lukewarm. When it becomes lukewarm, amen, then it becomes formal and powerless. He defiles it, amen, makes it lukewarm, then makes it formal, then makes it powerless. Well, are you going to preach with me this morning? He comes in the church, makes it, he defiles it, amen, makes it lukewarm, makes it formal, and caps it off by making it a powerless church. Amen. So he comes in with a little innocent doctrine that we don't need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And right there, he has defiled the church. Then he begins to make it formal, make it lukewarm. Where before, if the Holy Ghost was in the church, there would be a fire in the church. There would be an amen in the heart. There would be a fire in the pulpit. There would be a fire in the pews. Amen. But after he's made it lukewarm, amen, then to shout, amen, is Pentecostal. And to dance is emotional. And to get happy when you hear the word is a bit too much. So what's he done? He's defiled it. He's made it lukewarm. And now he's made it formal. Amen. And before long, there'll be devils in the church. And there'll be no power to withstand them devils because there's no Holy Ghost in the church. But I say this morning, love divine fellowship, we welcome the Holy Ghost into this church this morning. We welcome him with his power. We welcome him with his manifestation. We welcome him with everything that he said he would be here. Let the Holy Ghost come in the church this morning. Let the fire of God fall afresh among us again. It's a battlefield. To the real true believers, we're in a battlefield. But somebody's going to stand and say, I stand for the Holy Ghost. I stand for the supernatural. I stand for the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. Comes in and defiles it. Makes it a lukewarm social gathering. Makes it formal. And before long, young people can't overcome pornography because there's no power to do it. Well, God, I'm here. I might as well preach that. Amen. Amen. Before long, there's no courage because the Spirit come in. Now watch. John said, little children, it is the last time. And ye have heard that the Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists. Whereby we know it is the last time. You realize the problem that God said the churches are cooling off. The churches are cooling off. We might as well just face that. The churches are getting worse and worse all the time. More preaching is being done than ever in the world, and less practice than ever has been done in all the world. Now I'm here, so I might as well preach that. Now, amen, young people, you got more youth camps in this message than any youth generation has ever seen. You've got more opportunities to hear the word and to be in an atmosphere that could bring forth a word-born child. We've got young people, amen, that's got message camps, and they've got youth camps, and they've got churches, and they've got powerful men of God preaching to them, amen, and we got them running around in high-heel shoes and painted faces and fingernail polish coming back in the church. Well, God, I might as well preach. Amen, amen, boys running around in skinny jeans. Oh, God. Well, it's the truth anyhow. Amen, amen, wearing jewelry like a bunch of sissies. I'll tell you what it is. It's because we let a devil come in that said the message is outdated and we need something modern. And I'll tell you what modernism is. It is the equation for a defiled, lukewarm, formal, and powerless church. But I defy that devil in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, come on, church. I'll take a sword to that devil. I don't care. It's a devil to rob our young people. Come on, young boys. Amen. What's wrong with a young boy being a man? Well, it's getting quiet, Brother Doug, but it's the truth anyhow. What's wrong with a young lady being a lady? What's wrong with our families? Amen. Having more. Oh, God. I'll tell you what's wrong. Amen. An Antichrist spirit come in, and because the deacon's daughter done it and the pastor's daughter done it, then all of a sudden it's all right. Amen. But if it's against the word, I don't care if the deacon's daughter does it, if the prophet's daughter does it, it makes no difference. The word is the absolute in the face of every Laodicea and deception. The Antichrist spirit will be defeated by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I know what I'm talking about. Oh, God. Well, Brother Andrew, it's just old-fashioned to wear long hair. Amen. And that's why you ain't got no power to pray. And that's why you call elderly sisters a bunch of old fogies. Amen. I say that's a spirit from the pits of hell. And there are some young girls in the last days who are going to hear what a prophet said when he said a woman ought to look like a woman and a saint and not a haint. And they're going to receive that word. And they're going to manifest that word. If that hair lips ever devil in the world. The churches are cooling off. We might as well face it. Come on, church. Amen. Used to be. I remember. Daniel, I may just be 25, but I actually remember when a man of God took a good hot sermon on holiness and cleaned the church out, and everybody repented and they got their lives right. Amen. But you know what? Now let a man of God take a good hot sermon on holiness and they wad up and ball up and leave and say he ain't got nothing to say and he ain't deep and he ain't revelated. I'll tell you what it is. It's an Antichrist spirit. Don't want to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say, but I am not here to make an Antichrist spirit welcome. I am here to defy that thing and withstand that thing and make the King of Kings and the Holy Ghost welcome in the church again until the power of God fills our young people, fills our families, fills our preachers, fills our churches. We're at a time, friends. It's a time when the world's cooling off. The brother said, we're at a junction time. I trust it's okay. He said, we're at a turning time. We're at a junction. He said, right now, amen, the age of the turning time is the time when men will either come in the kingdom of God or they'll be sealed out. See, the Spirit of Christ says when you're once sealed, that is sealed in the kingdom of God. And just as sure as you can be sealed in with one is as sure as you can be sealed out with another. And tonight, I want you to hear this. Tonight, we're going to talk about the sealing out. And tomorrow night, about the sealing in. And you draw your opinions. as is to try to keep strictly on the word, not opinions, but on the word. Well, amen, Brother Andrew, I really don't think the Holy Ghost matters. That's your opinion. It's not the word. Well, I don't think standards matter. That's your opinion, not the word. Well, I don't think Brother Doug ought to address these things. That's your opinion and not the word. Well, glory to God. You'll either love me or hate me time I get done today, but I'll still love you. Are you hearing me? I don't think the deacons ought to do those things. Amen. That's your opinion, not the word. See, this is not a church with opinion basis. This is a word-based church. That's a word-based pastor. This is a word-based pulpit. And if it's a word-based church, there ought to be some word-based believers that says, I don't care how hot it is. You preach the word until you circumcise and cut away the excess and make room for the Holy Ghost. Well, what better way to start the new year out than clean out the church, clean out our families, clean out our home. Come on, church. Right now, you can't say amen because some old devil's crept in your life. But you are anointed with God's Spirit this morning to raise up and kick that devil out of your home. Kick him out of your family. Kick him out of this church and give room. Give room for the Lord to descend in here with his word and his power. Oh God, I'll tell you this, you ever get the Holy Ghost, you won't have to worry about going back out to the devil. Come on, church, you won't have to worry about going out back to the devil. You get the Holy Ghost. The prophet said the Holy Ghost is a seal. Come on, church. You know what a seal is? A seal does two things. A seal seals out and a seal seals in. Oh, God. A seal seals out and a seal seals in. Amen. The Holy Ghost seal has sealed the Antichrist out and has sealed the Holy Spirit in. Come on, church. If you got the Holy Ghost this morning, you ought to be the happiest person in Tucson, Arizona. If you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your soul, the devil is sealed out. The world is sealed out. Creeds are sealed out. And God has been sealed in. What did Paul say? He said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. You know what that word sealed means? I love this, Brother Doug. It means to mark a thing. It means to impress a thing. Come on now. Amen. It means to impress. You realize what Peter done? In the book of John, the 6th chapter, the Bible says that Peter stood there and Jesus said, if you eat, drop my flesh and drink not my blood, you have no part in me. And the Bible says that there were 70 turned and walked away. And the Bible says that Peter stood there and looked at Jesus and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Jesus said, will you go also? And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Brother Malachi, a prophet of God, come along and said what it was Peter had been so impressed with this heavenly revelation. Glory to God. There was something had settled down on Peter's heart and it put an impression there, had it put a seal there that no matter who walks away, I'm not going anywhere because thou alone has the words of eternal life. That word sealed means to be placed, amen, beyond doubt, amen, to be placed into a position where you're beyond doubt, where you're beyond the cares of the world. Let me say it to you like this, you're not horse and buggy drivers, you're not car drivers, you're not airplane pilots, you are spiritual astronauts who is living in a spiritual astronaut age with an astronaut anointing. And the prophet said, oh my, amen, go beyond the clouds, go beyond the creeds, go beyond the doubts, into outer space, beyond all unbelief, out of outer space where you don't hear the chatter. Well, you can't do it, and nobody will cooperate with you. You can't do this, you can't do that. It's too stormy. Oh God, it's too stormy. We can't fly today. It don't make any difference to an astronaut. He goes beyond the storms. when it's wrote here in the Word, he's got it in his heart, and there's something tells him, and it just propels him on out, goes right on into outer space, because we're living in an astronaut age. Yes, sir, out in space, where all things are possible to them that believe. He is a guide, which is his Word, that tells him how to go. Amen. Is the Word of God. Now, in 1 Peter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away. Listen to this. Reserved in heaven for you. Look at the next verse. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. The prophet said, before we close this section on the messenger of the Laodicean age, we must seriously consider these two thoughts. First, this age will have one prophet messenger. Revelation 10:7 says, when he which is singular shall begin to sound. Amen. There has never been an age where God gave his people two major prophets at one time. He gave Enoch alone. He gave Noah alone. He gave Moses. He alone had the word, though others prophesied. John the Baptist came alone. Now, in the last day, there is to be a prophet, not a prophetess, though in this age, there are more women purporting to give God's revelation than men. Oh, God. I just picked something up there, so I might as well preach while it came to me. Amen. I think our kids need to see more than their mamas in the altar. Well, glory to God. I think our kids need to see more than their mamas shouting. I think they ought to see their daddies on their feet sometime. I think they ought, oh God. But is it the truth? Come on, friends. You know it's the truth. Amen. I've seen it time after time, an altar call. Amen. And women be laying in the altar crying out to God, and husbands standing back there looking at the ceiling and looking around. Come on, church. This ain't a woman move. This ain't a single move. This is a body move. I'll tell you why that is because we live, oh, can I preach, Brother Doug? We live in an age where the identity of a man has been reduced, amen, to a sissy, amen, oh, God. Men has lost their identity. They're not leaders. They're not providers. They're not real fathers. They're not real husbands. They're a bunch of followers of some modern system. But it's time around this message that the Holy Ghost raise up some real men to be real fathers and real husbands and real preachers. Hey, Brother Andy, you know what you're talking about. Oh, yes, I do. A few years ago, one of my great uncles passed away. We went to his funeral. It was in this big old Methodist church. And Brother Doug, I walked in there, and there was a guy standing at the door. And I walked in. I said, how are you, sir? He said, good. What's your name? I said, my name's Andrew Glover. He said, I said, what's your name? He said, my name's so-and-so. I said, oh, you're the pastor of the church. He said, no, my wife is. And I thought, really? About that time, Brother Doug, she walked out on the platform, had a big long robe on and a Bible under her arm, and he's at the back door holding the door. I said, that's your wife? He said, yes, she's the pastor. I said, then what are you? He said, well, I stay home and take care of the babies and take them to school and wash the clothes and cook supper. I thought, oh God, what a warped, amen, manifestation of an Antichrist spirit. Come on, church, the Bible says it's the Bible. You want the Bible? Let's go to the Bible. A woman should not teach or usurp authority over a man. I know they can teach Sunday school, but there's nowhere in the Bible they can fill a pulpit. But because America, amen, didn't have the courage to stand with the Word, they stood with feelings and traditions and social standings. They left the Word, and now the man is the wife, and the wife is the husband, and the children are the leaders of the home. But oh, thanks be to God, he would send a message in the last days that would be able to discern that spirit. Come on, brothers. How many says this year, I want to be a real husband. I want to be a real father. I want to be a real leader. I want to fulfill the role that God has called me to fulfill in the age I'm living in. Well, it's a truth anyhow. The prophet, the infallible word says, let me back up, because I feel that spirit pushing back at me, and I will take a sword at that spirit. It's a perversion from the pits of hell. It's a dominating female spirit. It'll tell a pastor what to do. It'll tell a husband what to do. But I'll tell you what the Bible said. The Bible said it's better to be on a housetop, amen, by yourself than in the house with a brawling woman. Getting hot in here, but it's the truth anyhow. It's God's word messing around. The message, pastors can't even pastor no more. If they say a little something, some woman gets the society raised up. It's a dominating spirit from the pits of hell. We can call it what we want to, but let's call it what a prophet called it. It's a devil in the disguisement of Christianity. But somebody is going to discern that thing, and they're going to withstand it and overcome it. Somebody's going to be a real woman in this age. Some woman is going to catch the revelation of her position, the word, and manifest Christ. Listen, you ain't got to tell me. I know this kind of preaching ain't popular, but it's a word anyhow. And I am not a hireling. I am a preacher. I'll preach this on a rock if I got to preach it. It's an antichrist spirit to defile the church and to put a bondage upon anybody that says it. Oh, I know that spirit. Well, it's here. Might as well preach that. Now, I'm not saying it's here. I'm saying the leadership to preach is here. But if it's here, something must be here, so might as well preach. It's a spirit to intimidate a man of God from saying something about it. But there's a fivefold ministry that you'll have to kill them before they shut up. Brother John, it's a spirit in the last days to silence men, amen, from quoting a prophet of God. You know what they say? They say it's out of date to say Jezebel was dog meat. Well, you know what I say? I'll stand on the White House steps and say, good morning, Miss Dog Meat, because a prophet said it. And if a prophet said it, I stake my life on it in the face of every devil. It's a word. Ain't backing up this bunch of nonsense. We're believers. We're soldiers. We're warriors. We're soldiers in the army of the living God. It's an evil day, Brother Luke, but we've been anointed to withstand. It's a spirit of perversion that's filled this land. And I'll tell you what it is. It's a devil. We can call it what we want. Brother Doug, I pray this, okay? I may need a bodyguard time I get done. Brother Joe, you got my back. Amen. We can call it liberal. We can call it social rights. We can call it equal rights. We can call it women's rights. We can call it women's liberation. But I'm going to call it what a prophet called it, an antichrist spirit. It's against the word. Yeah. Yeah, but there'll be an infallible word says that he, the prophet, will reveal the mysteries to the end time people and turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. Notice this. Then the Bible says that there will be an end time people who will see the end time revelation, and they won't be afraid to preach it when they see it. When they see it, they won't be afraid to preach it. Now, I said like this, as a young minister, I ran into those spirits. The other day, I remember I was about 16 years old, and I was preaching a meeting one time, and I got done, guy coming back room, and he said, don't quote Brother Branham. I said, what do you mean? He said, don't use his name in my pulpit. I said, well, why is that? He said, because I've got new people out here, and I don't want to run them off. I don't want to say something to scare them. I said, brother, you won't run an eagle off, but you'll sure run a chicken off.
Right. Yeah.
You say, Brother Andrew, you're pretty bold. Amen. I'll tell you why I'm bold. I didn't come from Ahab. I come from Elijah. I just don't know how to be politically correct when it comes to word. Oh, God. Are you hearing me? Don't quote Brother Branham. And Brother Andy, that spirit says don't say a prophet. But you know what? They'll get up and quote Charles Spurgeon. They won't quote quote a clean living, vindicated prophet by the pillar of fire, but they'll quote Charles Spurgeon, who was a cigar sucking preacher. Well, it's the truth anyhow. Amen. Went home and said, I'd rather smoke a cigar and incense unto heaven, put out a carton in his day. Brother, can I preach? Brother Doug's behind me, so I'm going to preach. Are you hearing me? Amen. Won't quote a prophet of God, but they'll quote Charles Spurgeon. You know why I quote Brother Branham? Because we got to discern this spirit, and the only way to withstand this spirit is by the revelation of the age you're living in. And whether you believe or not, Spurgeon was not carrying the revelation to withstand the Antichrist spirit. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. And Malachi, that mystery will catch the attention of an end time people. Might as well take the brakes off and preach. We're not a bunch of confused, hopeless, helpless church members. We are the revelated, manifested sons and daughters of God by the message of the hour. The book's not closed, JJ. The book has come open by the angel's message. There'll be an end time people on the earth to see the end time revelation, and they'll not just see it, but they'll live it. They'll become it. They'll manifest it. Yes, sir. Revelation 5, that book is closed. Revelation 10, that book is open. You realize the prophet said the mystery of the book is revealed when the seals are broken. Revelation is something that's made known of something. Think about that. Revelation is something that is made known of something. This revelation, somebody say, is closed. This revelation is closed until the last days. The end time does not change God. The works of God do not change. The works of God, amen, destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8, break it in. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. You know what that word destroy means? It means to loose, to let go from bondage. Brother Bram said, spoken word, original seed. Christ was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. What was he? God's word, which destroys the works of the hybrid, the devil. Is that right? He was done to do that. He was born to be that, to destroy the works of the devil. Yes, sir, Brother Andrew. The Christ was born to destroy the works of the Antichrist. Yes, sir, Brother Andrew. Christ was born to destroy the works of the devil. But a prophet turns a corner and says, now his body is to do the same. Now his body is to do the same, because the body, the head and body is together. If Christ is the head, was the word, and the body is to be the same thing as the head was, a church of the word, born of the word, from the word. Okay. I could preach all day right there. A church from the word, born of the word. Amen. In the word. Come on, church. You can't get around the fact that you are the word. You are the word made manifest in the age you're living in. The body, amen, operates by the head. Then when the headship comes to the body, there will be a power that'll come out of the head, that'll come into the body. Come on, church. I don't want to get too heavy in this, but I want to preach for a second. Amen. Do you realize if you got a body here, if you got a body right here without a head, there's no moving, there's no operation, there's no function. It's a body without a head. But Brother JJ, you go in the hospital and you do a head transplant, and you take a head and put it on that body. You connect the body and the head together. Do you realize the only evidence that the connection has been made is when life is in the least member of the body? Come on, church. When it's a successful surgery is when the head comes to the body, and the least part of the body, called the little toe, can feel life. Brother Doug, I'm about to put another church in this door in this church. Where do you want it? Are you hearing me? When you feel life in the least part of the body, amen, that's when the head has been connected to the body. Oh, come on, church. Amen. I believe here today that there are some members of the body. It's a many-membered body. You say, Brother Andrew, all I am, I'm just the least part of the body. I'm just a little toe. As a matter of fact, I'm the skin on the bottom of the little toe. Well, let me give you a more sure word of prophecy. Amen. You may be the skin on the bottom of the little toe, but even the skin on the bottom of the little toe is connected to the body, which is connected to the head, which means everything is under the feet of the body of Jesus Christ. Come on, church. It's time to rise up and withstand this devil and overcome this devil. Headship has come to the body. Oh, healing. The prophet said, see what happens? That Son of Man returns at the close of the age, at the changing of dispensations. See, amen, to do what? Amen, to reveal, amen, Christ, a Son of Man. Yeah. Right. Revealing the Son.
Right. Yep.
Are you with me?
Yep.
Of man. Then can I say it like this? The seventh age is a busy age.
Right.
Yeah. Spiritually, the seventh age is when both spirits will be revealed and manifested. Look here with me in Daniel 12:4. You got your Bibles? Just look in Daniel 12:4. We find that Satan was dreading the time of the seventh angel. You agree with me there? The devil was dreading the time that Revelation 10:7 would become more than written word, but it would become fulfilled word. Daniel 12:4, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book. When? Even to the time of the end. For many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now, I want you to hold that right there. I'm gonna slow down here for a second and give you a real quick Bible study. Is that okay? Sixfold purpose of Gabriel instruction or visit to Daniel. The prophet said, what is it? Do you see it, class? The revelation of Jesus Christ and of his power, of his coming, of the end time was sealed up until this time. That's what he come to do. It's hid from scholars. No one they want to apply. Amen. Sealing up back yonder those prophets and everything way back. It won't hold water. Listen, this vision has been sealed up. Amen. Till right here now. At 12:14 on January the 2nd, 2022, the vision is no longer sealed up. Are you hearing me? There's where I'm placing my faith, that God will reveal them 70 weeks. Amen. Seal it up. He goes on to say, what did he do to seal up the vision, the prophecy? Daniel had prophesied these things. He saw it in the vision, but the angel come down to seal the vision, to seal the prophecy. They can read it, but they can't understand it until the end time. Go to Daniel 12:5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two. The one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other one on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, which he held in his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever that it shall be for a time, times and a half. Brother Ram stops and says, now you watch when we get in Daniel 70 weeks, how that comes out. That's when the mysteries is going to be revealed. Amen. See, he, amen, time, times and a half. Amen. He, the prophet said, he, personal pronoun, the Antichrist, and shall accomplish to scatter the power of the holy people. That's when he breaks his covenant in the middle of the week. All those things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Oh, then I said, oh my Lord. Oh my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel. for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Do you realize that did not stop the Antichrist right? He was riding right there, but there was no ability to discern who he was. Many shall be purified, made white, and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. He says the end time message shall reveal it. The last church age, the mystery, the things the church world bats their eyes at and says it's nonsense. The mystery of who Jesus Christ was, not a third person, not a second person, but the person. All the mysteries of God will be revealed because it's written here in the book. Listen, no wonder they can't understand why you don't cluck up with them. No wonder they don't understand why you don't cluck up with them, because there's a power and division behind it. There is a word of God that's been revealed to get the church in order for the rapture and the going home. See, then what did Matthew 13:11 say? That the mysteries of the kingdom would be revealed to the disciples. The prophet said, is this a sign of the end, sir? The ninth mystery is the mystery of iniquity, which is found in 2 Thessalonians 2, amen. What Bible says, what is iniquity? It's something that you know you ought to do and you won't do it. It's something you know you ought to do and you won't do it. They know the word. They hear it. You're listening to the tape. You're listening to this message. You see the Lord God say so. You see him confirm it and make it true. And you know it's just as plain as the sun is shining outside, but you hold on to your denomination instead of the word. And the prophet said, Brother Doug, he called them workers of iniquity. Which, what did the Bible say? Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Amen. The prophet goes on to say, in that day there will be, somebody say there will be. There will be an Antichrist, amen, that'll rise. But the prince, notice this, the prince that would stand up would cause the abomination to make desolation. That was Rome through Titus. And the time the prince is coming out of Rome, that'll do it. And he will be revealed in the last days. The Antichrist will be revealed in the last days, making himself as God. The Holy Ghost warns us of that in 2 Thessalonians 2. Amen. Can I have a few more minutes? Go to 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. But remember, he stops and says, deceivers, you see, deceiving the people off into something. But only he, which is God, who now letteth, will let, until he, the prophet said, the church, Christ, the bride, will be taken out of the way. And then, somebody say then shall the wicked be revealed at the breaking of the seal at his time, Paul said, not in my time, but in the time when he'll be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him. Remember, stops and goes, him, a man. See, who's coming in after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, deceiving people by unrighteousness in them that perish, not the bride. We ought to put our shouting shoes on right there. Not the bride. Amen. Them that's looking for such a thing. Amen. Because they received not a love for the truth. And Christ is the truth. And Christ is the word. But they'd rather have a creed that they might be saved. And for this cause, listen, for this cause shall God send them strong delusion, and they should believe a lie. It should be translated there, as I looked in the lexicon, the lie, not a lie. Amen. The same lie that the serpent told Eve, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. At the same time that the wicked is being revealed in his deception, in his lying wonders, and his lying signs. And there is a people who are, there is a people who are receiving him. It's the same time that the words of Peter are being fulfilled, that there is a people who has been begotten by a lively hope, who are kept by the power, come on church, of the Holy Ghost, who are ready to be revealed in the last time. The devil thought it was over. He thought he had it sealed. He thought he could make his final ride and there would be nobody here to withstand him. But right here this morning in Tucson, Arizona, there is a bride. There is a bride with a word, with a vindicated word, with a revealed word, with an anointed word, with her eyes salve being opened by the eyes. Oh, God, help me this morning. It's the hour, friends. How can I say it? It's your time. It's your season. It's your anointing. It's your message. It's not Paul's day. It's not Peter's day. It's not Luther's day. It's the bride's day. According to my timer, I got a few more minutes, so can I use it? We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we. 1 John 4 and 6. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. That word error means to be led astray from the right way. It is a delusion. Remember, I said Eve never just simply walked out and willfully say, I don't believe in God. No, it was an error she believed.
Right, yeah, right, right, right.
Now, the rubber's getting ready to hit the road. It was an error she believed. And by believing the air, she was led out of the paradise of God. But remember, so notice this. The serpent led Eve to believe the lie. Do you realize that you can be a real good Christian and still be an error?
Yeah. Right.
That's why the prophet said, prove all things.
Yeah. Right.
Hold fast that which is good. He said, now it is possible that staunch Christians, fine people, hold sometimes to the wrong thing, thinking it is the right thing. See, but when the Lamb reveals the seven seals, then the bride will be there who is elected to see it. Good Christians can hold to the wrong things. Oh God, let me drive this home. Hold sometimes to the wrong thing, thinking it is right. But let me say it like this. We are elected to see the truth and not the error. Look with me in Revelation 6:1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth, amen, conquering and to conquer. Do you realize Revelation 6:1 verses 1 and 2 was the prophet's text in a sermon called The Mighty Conqueror? Hello, the great and mighty conqueror. Do you realize he preached that sermon several times? Do you know what that sermon never done, Brother Joel? It never cost him one pulpit. He never lost one friend over the sermons, the great and mighty conqueror, reading Revelation 6, 1 and 2, that the white horse rider was Christ. He could preach it and they would shout the rafters off. He could say, here comes Christ. He's riding on a horse. And that's the truth. He's the conqueror of all conquerors. That's the truth. But notice this. The revelation had not come of what that was. So he's approaching the seven seal series and he says, read Matthew 24 and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. He said, now what does a trumpet do? A trumpet denotes a political disturbance. Whereas a seal denotes a religious disturbance. Oh God, that great and mighty conqueror being preached as Christ never disturbed the devil's plan. But because the devil was hiding without revelation from a prophet. But when he's sitting there and he's fixing to preach the first seal and he's getting ready to write, amen, that the white horse rider is Christ, and he said, "Something touched me on my shoulder. Something touched me on my shoulder," and said, "It's not Christ, it's the Antichrist." Amen. Go hear it in your first seal tape. He said, How could he be riding on the earth with a bow without arrows and holding a book in heaven? He said, "It's not Christ, it's the Antichrist." He said, "See, it's a religious disturbance when a seal is open." Brother, sister, on March the 18th in 1963, when a prophet said, "What is the white horse rider? It is the Antichrist." That revelation disturbed hell. It disturbed demons. It disturbed churches. It disturbed ministries. But it brought revelation. Hallelujah. It brought revelation to where today, if the white horse rider's riding, we're not saying it's Christ. We're putting our finger and saying it's the Antichrist. See, you want me to tell you who he is? But Bram said he's the Antichrist. Are you ready for this? He says the white horse rider has been in the land all the time. The Antichrist has been, spirit has been in the land all the time. There's three stages. First, he's a devil to begin with. Then it's a spirit of a devil. He says it's a spirit of a devil, then it's a false prophet. He said, next thing, he comes as the very devil himself incarnate. So what happened? The manifested revelation of the mystery of iniquity has exposed the Antichrist spirit. Now let me say it like this, I'm hurrying. The Antichrist spirit is a religious spirit. He says, not coming in as Russia, but as a smooth fella. Smooth, Brother Joel. Slides right in. Daniel 11:21, "In this estate shall stand up a vile person, Rome." Brother, I'm talking about Rome. He says, "See, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom." Now watch. "But he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries." The prophet said, Daniel said this Antichrist would do. He will fit the people's place. He will fit the menu for their day. No, I hadn't run out of stuff to say. I'm kind of letting this just kind of simmer down. "For in this church age, they don't want the word, but they want church." That's why you started with one church. And you got one group that didn't like the... God, here we go. You got one group that didn't like something, so they broke off and started their own. And then another group broke off. And before long, you got 900 different denominations. I may have shared this here before. I was in the barber shop one day. And I was sitting there, back when I lived in Kingsport, in the barbershop I grew up in, I was sitting there and there was a guy cutting my hair, the barber there. He's actually a preacher. And while he was cutting my hair, another guy walked in and he said, "How you doing, Reverend?" And that guy said, "Doing good, sir, doing good." He said, "Well, that's good." So he kept cutting my hair. And he said, "This young man here is a preacher." And that preacher looked at me and he said, "Oh, really, man?" He said, what denomination are you with?" I said, "Well, we're full gospel. We just believe the Bible, the Word." He said, "Oh, really?" He said, "Well, what do you follow?" I said, "Well, we follow a vindicated prophet's teachings." He said, "Oh, okay, a prophet." I said, "You mind me asking what you are?" He said, "Well, I'm Methodist. I'm A.M.E. Zion." I said, "Oh, you're A.M.E. Zion." I said, "Well, my great-grandfather was Methodist." I said, "What's the difference?" He said, "Well, the United Methodist..." Now, don't take this wrong, okay, but I'm just preaching. He said, "The United Methodist is predominantly white." He said, "The A.M.E. Zion is predominantly black." I said, "Oh, okay." I said, "So you all must believe different things." He said, "No, we believe the same thing." He said, "We just separated by the color of our skin." I had to scratch my head. Whatever you believe is so powerful, it can't even bring two races together. Whatever you believe is so powerful, you can't even sit in the same building. You got to have a predominantly why. I tell you what it is. It's an antichrist spirit. You can call it racism. I'll tell you what it is. It's an antichrist spirit. Racism is an antichrist spirit. It's a spirit from the pits of hell. Oh, friends, this morning, but there is a bride on the earth who has not been overcome by this antichrist spirit. She has been overcome by God's Holy Spirit, and He is calling her out of this chaos back to His Word. The Messiah's adversary is the Messiah's adversary. Oh my, I've got to close here. 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but welcome the spirit in and put your arm around it. Give a little bit of time. Say, we'll see how it goes. My Bible says, try the spirits. Whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. You know what that word try means? It means to approve. It means to discern. Whew. Brother Doug, this is a heavy one. It means to scrutinize. To see whether a thing is genuine or not. Let me close by saying this. The sword has come to the church. The judge has come to the church. Let me say it like this. We are not the judge. The Word is the judge. But in the last days, the Spirit's come amongst. Well, you can't judge me. Only God can judge me. That's what they say. And you know what, Brother Malachi, I say? That ought to scare you. Come on, church. People walk around with a haughty attitude. Well, you can't judge me, and the church can't judge me. Only God can judge me. That ought to really scare you. But the prophet of God said, see, he said, all hell is against this revelation. Let me close by sharing my heart with you. In these last days, never underestimate a spirit. Never underestimate a spirit. Are you ready for this? No matter how innocent it appears. Well, it's just innocent, Brother Doug. Brother Bram said, when the Lord commanded Israel to go in and take the land, He said, kill all the Amalekites. He said, kill every Amalekite you see. Brother Bram said, they went in there under inspiration and began to kill Amalekites. Brother Andy, they saw great big Amalekites and chopped their heads off. They seen granddaddy Amalekites and chopped their heads off. They saw the big Amalekites, killed them, Brother Joel. Brother Bram said, but then all of a sudden, as they was walking through the land, possessing the land, they heard a baby crying, and they looked, and it was a baby Amalekite. And Brother Bram said they wanted to go over and pick it up and hold it and say, oh, but it's just a baby. It's just a little baby. Oh, oh God, it's getting heavy here for a second. Oh, it's just a baby. It's just a little baby. It's okay. Brother Bram said, it's innocent now, but it'll grow up and be its daddy. It'll grow up and be. So what that tells me is that they could adopt that Amalekite, and still they wouldn't have the power to change the nature by trying to train it the way they wanted it to be. Come on, church. You've been trying to train them devils not to be fully alcoholics like your father was. Oh, God. Not to be women chasers like your daddy was. I'll tell you what it's time to do. It's not time to play with that baby Amalekite. It's time to kill that thing. You better destroy your enemy before your enemy destroys you. Is there anybody here this morning that says, I'm ready to kill these Amalekites? I'm ready to kill them. I don't want nothing laying around. I want a land without an Amalekite. But it's innocent, Brother Malachi. It's just a little baby. The prophet said, see, discerning and withstanding the spirit. Not the man. I'm running way over. Y'all forgive me. The spirit that is motivating the man. But Bram actually comes to the pulpit, and I'm going to close with this, I promise. In 1961, he comes to the pulpit. Whew. Y'all's pulling. I'm trying. He comes to the pulpit, and he says, now there's a teaching got among the people that I'm the Lord Jesus Christ. They're baptizing in my name. They're praying in my name. I'm hearing about it. It's a horrible thing. He says, I hate to announce it, but I'm leaving the field. I'm quitting. I'm going back in the woods to be a trapper. Maybe if this thing dies out, I'll return someday. He says, now listen, Brother Doug, this caught me. He says, now wherever it is, it's a spirit on precious people. It's a spirit. Notice it didn't come out. Bless God, you bunch of devils. It's a spirit on precious people. It's a spirit. But I hope today it receives a deadly wound and will die out. He says, remember, if you ever believe me to be a servant of God, of Christ, remember that is an error. You know what the spirit of the day would have said today to Brother Branham? Brother Branham, just leave it alone. Just don't say nothing about it. It'll be okay. I'll leave you with this. The spirit in the last day has returned to intimidate preachers, to intimidate pastors, not to shepherd their flocks. And you know what it says? It says, I'm just going to say it like this. There's an idea that's really got among people that a pastor can't address something he has knowledge of. A pastor, oh God. Hey, Brother Doug, the idea is a pastor don't have a right to address a situation that he has knowledge of. Let me give you a simple illustration like this. If there was a spirit of gossip in the church, which I know that never happened here, but if there was, and Brother Doug knew about it, and you knew that he knew about the spirit of gossip, and he come to the pulpit and said, now there's a spirit of gossip in this church. It's come from the pits of hell. Here's what the word says about gossip. Here's what the Bible says about gossip. Brother Doug, there'd be people get up and walk out and they would not receive it. They would say, it's not of God because he had knowledge of it. But if somebody like me come in who had no knowledge of the situation and begin to preach it, they'd say, oh, glory to God. That's the word of God. That's the truth. Let me say this and I'm done. Amen. Just because a man has knowledge of something and addresses it, does it make it less spiritual? And just because a man doesn't have knowledge of it and addresses it, doesn't mean it's more the truth. It's only more personable to you. If it's coming from the Word, we ought to receive it regardless of how it's coming. It's the Word of God. It's the Spirit of truth. It's the Spirit of correction. Come on, church. If somebody, come on. They tried that on John. Brother JJ, they walked in John's office and they looked at John and they said, don't you go out there today, Brother John. This is what they told John the Baptist. Don't you go out there and preach on marriage and divorce. Amen. Don't you go out there and say it because Herod's out there and you're going to offend him. You know what John the Baptist did? He walked right out there, looked that spirit in the face and said, it's not lawful for you to have her. I'll tell you this and I'm done. If we don't stand up and say something about these spirits, they'll overtake our churches, they'll overtake our families, they'll overtake our young people. But is there anybody in the land today that's ready to discern by God's spirit and withstand this evil spirit in the last days? Won't you stand to your feet with us? It's the truth regardless. Brother Doug, if I'm wrong, you can correct me, buddy. It's the truth, regardless. As the musicians come, it's a spirit to intimidate. And it looks real innocent. But I'll say it like this. If it's not discerned and withstood, it won't be long and the whole church will be consumed by it. I sit in my office the day studying. I'd been preaching for a brother and I'd left there and he, after the meetings, he
Before the service, he was talking to me. Or before the meetings that weekend, we went out to lunch. And I said, well, how's things been going for you? And he said, Brother Andrew, he said, I don't want to talk to you right now. He said, you're a preacher. And he said, I know if inspiration comes in the building, you're going to preach. And he said, I don't want you maintaining with nothing. I want you to just preach. He said, we'll talk afterwards. So I said, okay, that's fine with me. So I went and preached that night. He came in the back room and he said, phew. He said, I'm in trouble now. I said, what did I do? He said, they're going to think I sit and talk to you. I said, really? He said, yeah, they're going to think I sit and told you everything that's happened. I said, what do you mean? You begin to tell me these things. He said, but Andrew, he said, here's what they told me, that I as a pastor have no right to address it because I have knowledge of it. And I left there thinking about that, Brother Doug. A man of God as a pastor, a spirit trying to intimidate him not to say something about a spirit who's trying to consume the church that he was sent to shepherd.
Right. Amen.
And then I found this example in the Bible. Of these things, put them in remembrance. 2 Timothy 2:14, charge them if they hear for the Lord, they strive not about the worst, no profit. Look here in verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth the canker. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus? Whose concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past, and already, notice what this was doing, to overthrow the faith of some. Can you imagine, Brother Doug, that morning Paul walks to the pulpit and says, greetings, friends. Good morning. I'm going to take my text here this morning. I'm going to begin to preach. There's going to be a resurrection. It's not already past. There's going to be a resurrection. People begin to fold their arms, square their shoulders back and say, I know where this is going. Paul's preaching along and all of a sudden he says, I don't care what Hymenaeus and Philetus says, there's going to be a resurrection. He was in the flesh. That wasn't of God. He called them brothers' names. I imagine they folded their arms and walked out there and said, that wasn't right. He shouldn't have done that. And 2 weeks later, they were sitting in Brother Paul's office because their own kids wasn't believing in a resurrection.
Right. Right. Right.
Spirits are motivated to overtake, overthrow, and overcome. But is there anybody here this morning that says, Lord, when I hear the word, I'll say, preach it, preacher. If it's shucking the hide off me, I'll say, preach it anyhow. It's the word of God regardless. We don't want a filthy church full of spirit. Come on, church. Amen. Here's what we can do. We can leave elephants sitting around in the room so long there ain't no room to even have church. Or we can address them and kick them out of the house of God and let the Holy Ghost fall back in the church again and refresh us with the Holy Spirit. How many says, that's my desire, Lord? Give me the courage. Give me the strength. I pray for my pastor when he stands on that word. I'll stand behind him and say, come on, Brother Doug. Come on, Brother Doug. Let's drive this devil out of town. Come on, church. Let's drive him back to hell where he come from. It's an Antichrist spirit. You're anointed to discern it and withstand it. Let's bow our hearts together this morning. You are anointed. Anointed to discern and withstand in the evil day. How many will agree with me this morning that it's one thing to say something's wrong? It's another thing to withstand it. Anybody today can say it's wrong. There's preachers, Laodicean denominational hirelings, as I call them. 50 years ago, homosexuality was wrong. It was of the devil. It wasn't right. Oh, they blasted and they preached against it. It was of the devil. It was wrong. It was a perversion. God didn't make man to marry man. But give it a few years and that spirit began to creep around. Crept around their homes and crept around their families and crept in their churches. Put a little pressure on them. And they said, well, I guess after all, it's not so bad. I guess after all, we can be more accepting. We can be more understanding. It's just a different lifestyle. So we'll just welcome it on in. And it's a spirit of perversion. Friends, that's one example. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to ask you fathers and husbands this morning, as the head of your household, as the leader, are you ready to stand and discern and withstand spirit to try to come around your family? Try to come around your wife? Try to come around your children? God bless you there, brother. God bless you there. God bless you. My hand's up with you this morning. Are you ready to be the David of your house and say, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that's come in this home that God gave me? Hallelujah. That's come in this home that God gave me as a man, as a wife, as a family. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that's trying to come in here with his doctrines and his creeds and his filthy ideas and overthrow the faith of Jesus Christ that resides and abides and dwells in this home? Today I'll take your head off. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Is there anybody here today who says, Lord, that's me? On this new year, I want to go home and be that kind of leader. I want to be that kind of husband, that kind of father. Is there any wives here today as the fifth gospel, as mothers of your children, as the preacher to them little kids in the home, as you raise them in the fear and admonition of God? They say, Mama, what about this and what about that? And you say, oh, it's wrong, honey. We don't believe in that. Well, little Junior's doing it and Susie's doing it. And I feel out of place if I'm not doing it. Oh, Mama, can we do it? Is there a fifth gospel here that's ready to say, Lord, I'll not cave that spirit. I don't care if the neighbor's kids are, glory to God. I don't care if the neighbor's kids are doing it. I don't care if the preacher's kids are doing it or the deacon's kids are doing it. If it's against the word, I will stand as that fifth gospel and rear my children in the fear and admonition of God's Holy Spirit. What about it, young people? Is there any young men here today that says, Lord, I'm ready to discern and withstand this spirit of pornography. I'm ready to withstand this spirit of lust. I'm ready to withstand this demon of depression. I'm ready to withstand and overcome this demon that puts pressure on me to be a sissy rather than be a man. Hallelujah. Oh, we preached for years about women wearing tight skirts and tight dresses. Now we got to preach about boys wearing skinny jeans and all kinds of sissy-fied looking things. But is there any real men here today? Is there any real young boys here today that says, I am a part of the army of the living God. I'm ready to make a stand for Jesus Christ. What about it, young ladies? Is there any young ladies here today that says, Lord, I know there's pressure in the last days to conform in my dress, to conform in the way I look. I know there's pressure to say, well, it was outdated for a prophet to say that a woman shouldn't wear high heels and a woman shouldn't wear paint and makeup and fingernail polish. That's outdated. I've let it creep in. But today, God, I'm ready to take my stand with the word of God and drive these innocent things out of my life by the power of the Holy Ghost. I don't want to be an overcome, subverted hearer of the word of God. But when I hear the word, I want the word to correct me. I want the word to straighten me out. I want to leave here someday in a body change. I want to be marching in line with the word. That's your desire today. Won't you help me pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, as your believers have gathered here this morning on this first Sunday of 2022, Lord, little did we know in a few years ago that the White House would be painted in the rainbow colors to welcome the spirit of perversion of Sodom and Gomorrah right into the land, the nation that a prophet of God was raised right out of. Our president would say, it's no longer wrong, it's a lifestyle.
Lord, there's a spirit in the last days, transgenders being pushed on our boys in school and pushed on our girls. You can't call them a boy. You can't call them a girl. It's abuse to call a boy a boy. It's abuse to call an underage girl a she. Oh, Father, today, as the bride of Jesus Christ, just because we attend Love Divine Fellowship and we believe the message of the hour, we are not, amen, we are not hid away from those spirits. We will face those spirits. We will battle those spirits. But today, on this first Sunday of 2022, I pray today in the name of Jesus Christ, may there come such a strength inside the believers here today that when they walk out of these doors and they go back to work tomorrow and they go back to school tomorrow and they go back to places of life tomorrow and they face them old demons, that old Antichrist spirit that says just give up a little here and give up a little there. It's more popular to do this. It's more popular to say that. I pray today that you would send such a strength of your word into their hearts that when they see that devil, they will draw their two-edged sword and say, Satan, I refuse to bow. I refuse to bend to you. I am a son of God. I am a daughter of God. I am a preacher of God. I am a deacon of God. I am a musician in the house of God. I have a position, and I refuse to give you one inch of my inheritance. Hallelujah. Give us the grace today, Lord, to discern and withstand. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Hallelujah. Overcomers in this life. Oh, we've been made victorious. Glory. Through the blood of Jesus. Is there any overcomers here today? Oh, we've been made more than conquerors. Is there anybody here today who says, I'll not be overcome? I'll not be overthrown. I'll not be overruled. I'll not be subverted. I'll not be suppressed. I'll not compromise. I'll stand upon the gene seed identity that God gave me before the foundation of the world. Overcome. Oh, let's sing it now with all of our hearts. Oh, we've been made more than conquerors. Glory. We're overcomers in, not in the life to come, but in this life right here today. Oh, we've been made victorious. Oh, through the blood of Jesus Christ. That old devil comes in and says, you'll be an overcomer in the millennium. I say today, I'll overcome your lies and fears. Glory! Oh, I've been made victorious. Oh, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, we've been made more than conquerors. Overcomers in the... Oh, what about it today? Is that your testimony? We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. How many can say this is what I want my testimony to be? This is not my religion. This is not my occupation. This is who I am. Brother John, this is who I am. Remember the prophet of God stood there that night with bawling out women for the way they were dressing, and the way they were looking, and men and stuff, painting their faces and things. And he walked out the back of the church, and a boy came around there and said, how old are you? Brother Bram told him how old he was. He said, the only reason you preach that's because you're an old man. He said, I'm a young man. He said, how old are you, boy? He said, I'm 18 years old. Brother Bram said, when I was your age, I was preaching this same gospel. Oh, friends, is that your testimony today? Don't let it just be something we stood. Oh God, I pray you hear my heart this morning. Don't let it be saying that one time love, divine fellowship stood for this, but we become overcome by the spirit of the day. But let this be our testimony. Oh God, hallelujah. This is the kind of people I think we'll be on the day of the rapture. The devil and hell will be rejoicing because we're leaving. He tried everything he could, and we would not bend and we would not bow, but we stood our ground in the face of every devil, in the face of every spirit, in the face of COVID. When the devil tried to divide the church, we united ourselves together and said, I see the spirit behind this thing. Stand as the body of Christ and discern these spirits and overcome them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through the blood of Jesus Christ.